Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us right now, Colts beat writer for ESPN, Mike Wells. You can follow Mike at Mike Wells NFL. Mike, I understand you're in the Bay Area, and I'd like to apologize for this weather. Usually we do our visitors a little better than this. Sorry.
Man, I'm telling you. And by the way, man, I mean, last time you and I talked, Steiny, you were on the NBA circuit. I was on the NBA circuit. You talk about things going full circle now. We're sitting there talking about football.
Exactly.
I came to the Bay Area because this used to be one of my favorite road trips in the NBA. I purposely came out yesterday, and I got to deal with this horrendous, horrendous weather.
Well, I think the good news is it's going to be dry for the game tomorrow. I don't know how the field will be, but I don't think it's going to rain. Hey, go ahead.
I'm selfish. I don't care about the game. I'm worried about sightseeing and getting out and walking to San Francisco. The players can sit there and play in horrible field conditions. I'll be in a press box. I'm selfish like that.
Well, you know, you're a veteran beat writer of multiple sports, so you know how to do it. Hey, real quick, Mike. What do the Colts have to do to get into the postseason? Why don't you explain it to the Raider fans out here?
Well, it's pretty simple. Actually, by the time kickoff starts tomorrow afternoon over at the Coliseum, they could be eliminated. Because what has to happen for the Colts is if Tennessee beats Jacksonville tomorrow afternoon, which the odds are pretty high, and we just saw Gus Bradley get fired this week, the Colts will be eliminated before kickoff even starts. But in order for them to get in, that they clearly have to beat the Raiders tomorrow, beat Jacksonville week 17, and then Houston and Tennessee must lose tomorrow. And then if the Colts take care of their business tomorrow against the Raiders, if Tennessee beats Houston and the Colts beat Jacksonville, they'll get in. So basically, there's probably a chance of me losing 20 pounds in the next month. The odds of that happening are higher than the Colts making the playoffs.
Do you get the sense that, to a man, the Colts know it's a long shot, and you think that'll affect their psyche at all coming into this game?
I think what happens in the earlier game, I think if, for some reason Jacksonville does upset Tennessee, I think you'll see a different Colts team. But if not, I think things could get pretty ugly pretty quick at the Coliseum. Because, the Colts, they're not blaming anybody else for being in this position. They had great opportunities earlier in the season, but, the inability to close out games, losing teams like the Jaguars over in London, not being able to hold a lead in the final 30 seconds against Detroit in week one, being swept by the Brock Osweiler-led Texans. I mean, they're not blaming anybody. They know if they don't make the playoffs, it's because they screwed up earlier in the year.
Mike, I've had some heated debates in regard to one Andrew Luck and just how good he is. And a lot of times the conversation comes to a stalemate when they say, you know what, the Colts have done a horrible job in regard to protecting Andrew Luck. And I look at the hits, I look how he's under pressure. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think it's 100% correct because, Luck didn't make the playoffs this year, but he's on pace to throw – have a career high in completion percentage, but the offensive line has just been brutal. The fact that last week against Minnesota was the first time all year that Luck was not sacked in the game. I mean, he was on pace to have a career high in sacks. He's been sacked 37 times in 13 games that he's played this season, and he's been hit a number of times. I mean, we've seen over and over again that, the offensive line doesn't do a good job when given time in the pocket, which is the case for, most quarterbacks. Luck has proven that he can pick apart any defense, and that's what he did against, very good front seven Minnesota defense last week. So, yeah, the offensive line has just been flat out atrocious. But I'll tell you now, I'm a Derek Carr fan. I like what they're doing over, across the Bay Bridge with Carr. The kid is talented. When you talk about young up-and-coming quarterbacks, I think you take put Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston at the top of that list.
Yeah, I'm looking at Andrew Luck's numbers, and he's – if the season were to end today, he would have the highest quarterback rating of his career. What's the perception of him in Indianapolis? Do Colts fans think he's having a great year? Do they think, you know what, he's just doing okay because his numbers look good from here?
No. He's definitely having a great year. It's just, you know, back to what I alluded to, their inability to, you know, close out games, and some of those games they lost, you know, were not because of what the offense couldn't do. It's because of what the defense not being able to come up with the necessary stops. You know, when you talk about issues with the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck is basically at the bottom of that list. You know, Andrew Luck, punter Pat McAfee, and kicker Adam Vinatieri are the three people that you don't have to worry about. It's all the other issues that they're dealing with, you know, the poor roster makeup. I mean, they play in the AFC South. I mean, that's clearly one of the worst divisions in football.
Right.
And they're sitting in third place at the moment. I mean, Brock Osweiler, who was benched last week, you know, swept the Indianapolis Colts. So, I mean, they've lost three games in the division. So I think, you know, like I said, it's not Andrew Luck who is the problem with this franchise.
Mike, tell us about T.Y. Hilton. I don't know why I know how good he is, but I feel like he's the NFL's best-kept secret. Do you think he's getting the props that he deserves, you know, from a Nationals perspective?
Well, I'm kind of mixed on T.Y. I think from a national perspective, I think people rate him higher nationally than what, you know, the local group does, because, you know, but the thing with Hilton is, you know, he has flashes. I mean, he's got like 4 or 5 games over 100 yards. He had a couple games over 170 yards. But it's a matter of when he shows up. I'll use the game against Houston 2 weeks ago. The Colts win that game. They're in the driver's seat to win the division. And it took for them to fall behind by double digits in the second half for T.Y. Hilton to get going. You look at the stat sheet, he had over 100 yards. But where were those numbers in the first half when they had a chance to put their foot on the Texans' throat and get up early playing at home? Hilton was a non-existent factor. Anybody who's watched football knows teams that get up big and fall back into that prevent defense, and it's easier to pass the football against those teams, and that's when Hilton put those numbers up. What the local media in Indianapolis wants to see, they want to see T.Y. Hilton excel every single week and be that, you know, when you talk about top receivers, you want to put him in that category of the Antonio Browns. You know, he doesn't have the size of a Julio Jones or an A.J. Green, but you want him to be that factor from start to finish. And too many times, T.Y. Hilton is just more of a flash receiver than a dominant receiver from start to finish.
Hey, Mike, real quick before I let you go, how much does Frank Gore have left in the tank?
Man, Frank's the man. I'll tell you now, come like this. If he's 100 million yards short shy of becoming the first Colts running back to have over 1,000 yards since 2007, he'll be the first running back over the age of 33 since John Riggins. Since you and I were, you know, little tight, Steiny, the rush over the age of 33 to have over 1,000 yards. So, and he's doing it. He's done it behind a very bad offensive line. So that tells you that Frank, hey, he has something left. And I'm going to tell you, you know, 20 years in this journalism business, Frank's one of my favorite guys that I've covered because he speaks the truth and he doesn't bite his tongue.
Yeah, we liked him. We liked him out here when he was with the 49ers, too, for sure. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for getting up early. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Hey, no problem. I need the rain to clear up. Hey, you guys have a Merry Christmas, too.